Good to see everybody here. We're missing a few because they're not feeling very good. But we're glad to see everybody here. I've turned out the lights, so hopefully the screen will show up better on our live feed. And so that's what we're going to do. And the title of the lesson is, What Does the Lord Require? See, here's the thing about requirements. See, everyone in this world understands what a requirement is. Everybody, there's no question about it. Everybody knows what a requirement is. That is until you bring it up in a spiritual discussion. Then all of a sudden, everybody seems to be a little bit dumb here. I mean, they just do not understand what a requirement is when we start talking in a religious setting. And so we're going to talk about this because God does require certain things of us. See, we're going to take note for a minute what the word require means. And a requirement is something that must be done to fulfill a condition, whatever that condition might be. And you might think, okay, well, if I'm going to win Publishers Clearinghouse, I am required to fill out the forms and mail them in before a certain date. And that's the only way I can win. So that is what we call a requirement. And so, I mean, we understand that. If you want to get your high school diploma, you have to meet certain requirements of the state in order to get your diploma. And so we go through life. If you want to get paid for a job, there are requirements that you must fulfill in order for you to collect your pay. So we understand that in the real world. But when it gets to religion, all of a sudden the idea of requirements are just thrown out the window. And people just seem to ignore it. The idea of a requirement, meeting a requirement, means you have the ability and skill to do a particular thing. And if you don't have that skill or the ability, they're not going to let you do it. You know, doctors have to prove themselves. They go through internships, they go through the training and the development, and before they can start practicing on their own, they have to basically be guided and mentored by someone with more experience. Eventually, they get to that point where they do have the ability and skills to do their particular field of medicine, whatever it might be. And a lot of people basically understand that. And so the NFL doesn't pay out millions of dollars to a player that doesn't know what they're doing. Sometimes we question with certain teams if they know what they're doing, but still, they have to have the ability if they're going to perform like we expect them to perform. And so before we can win a prize, we are required to meet the conditions. You know, even Paul talked about everyone runs a race, but we must run according to the rules. Yes, there's rules. I mean, if you're going to run a race, they're not going to let you get an advantage by taking a head start. I mean, some people think, well, that must be okay, and they try and do it, but every time someone tries to get a head start, what do? Well, they stop the race. We're going to go back and start. And if you do this one more time, you're disqualified. You can't win the prize. And so we must meet the conditions. Now, when we start thinking of a spiritual standpoint, this makes a lot of sense. I mean, when we start thinking about God has given us certain requirements that we need to fulfill, and it's following His rules. He set the rules. We don't make up our own rules. He set the rules. All right. So when we use the word in the Bible, it usually means that certain conditions must exist before something is going to happen. And so in the Bible, the word require means that God has certain expectations of you or of somebody else. And so we read that. I mean, He expects us to live a particular way, to act and behave in a particular way. And if we don't, then we will be failing God. And so, in simple language, what is meant is that if you do not meet the requirements of God, He is not going to be happy with you. And of course, I hope you realize that God has given us many requirements to be considered a faithful child of His. A lot of people, they want to limit what the requirements of God are. Some people think, well, if I get to church 1 hour a week, then I've met the requirements. If I pray one time a week, I've met the requirements. And if I've gone through, maybe obeyed the gospel, but if you don't do the other requirements, God gives us all these commands, right? What is a command? A command is a requirement. I mean, we don't look at it that way. Most people do not look at it that way. They see all these commands in the scriptures, but they don't recognize them as requirements. These are just basically self-help requests or suggestions. And that's how many people treat the scriptures. They treat them as suggestions rather than what they really are, the requirements of God, which are His commandments. So God has many requirements, and there's no question about that. And God teaches that if one were to make an oath, that person will be required to keep it. That's what He said back in Deuteronomy 23 and 21. If you make an oath, you're required to keep it. And an oath would be the same thing as a promise. If you make a promise, you're required to keep it. And so, folks, if you promise the kids, well, tomorrow we're going to go to the zoo, and guess what? If something happens, you have a wreck on the way, or it raining really bad, you say, we're not going today, you've broken that. And God says you have broken your promise. And so we have to be very careful. So what we need to learn to do is put conditions upon our promises. If you clean up your room, we'll go to the zoo tomorrow. And something like that. We have to, you might call it bribery, if you want to call it that. But sometimes, I mean, there are certain requirements. You have to meet certain conditions. You have to clean your room. You have to go to bed when we tell you to go to bed. And then we'll do that. And if the weather conditions are favorable. So, yeah, I mean, there are requirements. When you think about it, every promise of God is tied into a condition that needs to be met. So some people, they like the promise of God, and they'll want to hold God to that, but yet they don't want to fulfill the condition that God gives us to do. So God said that the murder of a life should require capital punishment. You know, when Noah came out of the ark and sacrificed to God, He says, now, these animals, they're here for your food also. You can eat these animals. They didn't eat animals before the ark. And animals didn't eat animals before the ark, if you want to realize it that. But still, then, after the ark, yes, animals ate other animals, and people eat animals, and animals eat people. But people aren't supposed to eat people. We know that. But still, the murder of a life, the taking of a life, should require a life be taken. And so God established capital punishment. This wasn't some punishment that some man came up with. God established that. Why? Because life was important to God. And then, of course, seeing all these people doing these abortions, I mean, God is not pleased with that. There's no way. See, even if a person did not meet the requirements of God, they would be held accountable and maybe punished because they did not do what they were supposed to do. I mean, that is the problem that people have to face, is everyone's going to stand before God in judgment. Whether they know God or whether they choose not to know God or they choose not to keep His commandments, He's going to execute justice and punishment upon them. So, at the very least, the community had an obligation to deal with lawbreakers in their area. I mean, every society, every community, every state and every country establishes their own laws. And each country is sovereign in that they make the rules for their people. And we can't sit down, well, I don't like their rules, and force them to change it. No, that's within their purview. That's their decision to make. If people don't like the rules here in California and they want to adopt the rules that might be somewhere else, move. I mean, that's a simple solution right there. Just move and go where you want to go. These people don't like these states. I mean, we heard a lot in the news recently about that. They don't like these states because these states are outlawing abortion. Oh, no. And we can't have that. Well, go to a state that allows it. I mean, it's that simple. But everybody should be dealing with lawbreakers. And the problem we face is a lot of times, a lot of lawbreakers aren't dealt with. And that's kind of frustrating. We're trying to keep the law, and they just randomly just decide which laws they don't want to obey, and then just don't obey them. See, Deuteronomy 18:18-19 is a prophecy of the Christ. And whoever does not listen to Christ so as to obey him, God will require it of him. So so that's what God was talking to Moses. I will raise up a prophet like unto you. And people are required to hear him. You know, when the angel of the Lord spoke, said, "Here's God's beloved son, hear him." I mean, that's the voice out of heaven was saying that. And so what is required is to hear the voice of Jesus. Jesus has the words of life. Jesus is the way. And there's no other way to God other than through Jesus. And so our requirement is basically to hear Jesus. And anybody who doesn't listen to Jesus, or even ignores Jesus, then God's going to require it of them. He has a punishment reserved for them. God holds each person accountable for everything that he has commanded. And so when someone does not do what they should have done, the Lord will require it of them. And in simple terms, the Lord will requite them based upon either their obedience or their disobedience. I mean, it's really simple when you look at it, but some people just don't see it that way. See, there's a few verses that describe what the Lord requires of his people. And so when we read in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 13, it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good." I mean, he asks that question, what does the Lord require of you? And the requirements are listed here. To walk in his ways, the ways that God has established, and we let him, to love God, to serve him, and do it with all of our heart and our soul, and to keep his commandments and his statutes. I mean, that's very simple. It's simple enough to understand. And you might say, but wait a minute, he was speaking to the Jewish people. That doesn't apply to us anymore. You know, some people use that argument. And you see, these are expectations God had of his people. It says, if you're going to be my people, you're going to do it my way. And that's basically what he said. And had they done what they were supposed to do, they would have been blessed beyond their imaginations. And that's what God promised. Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. I mean, they're identical. In other words, you serve me, I will bless you. And you don't, I'm going to cause problems for you. And you're not going to like it. See, in Micah 6:8, we read, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God?" See, this quotation and the previous quotation were both formed in the way of a question. And so they're in the form of a question, and the writers are inquiring of the people if they know what God requires of them. And he kind of gives them some very strong hints here. Do you know what the Lord requires of you? You know, he did say, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Do you understand that? I mean, so that's what the writers are asking these people. And so what is recorded is what God requires of each person. And he gives us a number of things here that we look at this passage. The fear of the Lord and keep his commandments is at the top of his list. It always has been and always will be. You know, Ecclesiastes 12:13 tells us this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. And that means to have a reverential fear of God and do what he commands. Very simple. It's not hard to understand. It's just hard to put into application for a lot of people. And the serving of God and keeping of the commandments is to be done with the heart involved. That's what the Deuteronomy passage said. Do it with your whole heart. A lot of people go through the motions, but their heart is not in it. And that's why many of the children of Israel were punished, because they didn't put their heart into it. And so we should not give God lip service. As Isaiah said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. You know, we can look at Titus 1:16, where it says these people profess to know God, but their deeds deny him. And so once again, they honor God with their lips. Oh, I love God. I love Jesus. But their heart isn't into doing what the Lord requires. And when we look at the Micah passage, Micah teaches us that the Lord's requirements begin with doing justice. Do justice. Do what is right. I mean, this has to do with our relationships with people. Treat your spouse right. Treat your family right. Treat your friends right. Treat your church members right. Treat your neighbors right. Treat your coworkers right. Treat everybody with fairness and kindness. I mean, that's what it's all about. Doing justice, doing what's right, and pointing out the people that are doing wrong. I mean, treating them fairly and justly is what God wants from us. And so that's what we need to do. I mean, yeah, treat them with fairly and justly. And God teaches us that cheating people is wrong. I mean, yeah, we already know that. He talked about that in several ways, by using a false measure or depriving someone of what is rightfully theirs. I mean, extortion or stealing or thieving or cheating, they all fit in the same category, and they're all an abomination before God. And so God teaches we should treat others the way we would want to be treated. Jesus repeated that on the Sermon on the Mount. And so that's what it's always been. And Micah also teaches that we are to love kindness. Love kindness. I mean, we're talking about kindness shows a lot of humble qualities about each and every one. And not only should we be doing acts of kindness ourselves, we should appreciate those others who do acts of kindness. In fact, if we're not the one doing the kindness being shown, we should commend those who are doing it and seek to follow their example. I mean, it's not hard to figure out. And finally, Micah says, humbling ourselves before God is a great thing. You know, this involves denying ourselves, as our Lord taught us that we would be required to deny ourselves, Matthew 16 and 24. Humility is a necessity to approach God. And it means that we have recognized that God is much greater than we are, and we submit to God in everything. And so even when he gives us a command, yes, I will do it. I mean, if you're on the job and the boss comes in and says, I want you to go in the restroom and clean it up. Well, that's not my job. No, if you want to keep your job, you're going to go do it. And so that is a requirement. If the boss tells you to do something, you do it. And the only exception would be if he tells you to do something that God doesn't want you to do, like lie to the customer, tell them a falsehood. We got to make that choice. I'm not going to do that. You want to lie to the customer? I'll hand you the phone. You can lie to them, but I'm not going to do that. So that's what we have to get down to. So we must submit to God in everything. See, submitting to God means that we do his will above or beyond our own desires and our wishes. And of course, all of this is just the most basic of what our duty to God involves. Like I said, he gives us many requirements. We have to learn what those requirements are if we're going to be pleasing to Him. Because if we don't do everything He wants us to do, even if we're acting in ignorance, if we don't know that we're supposed to do this or that, He's still going to hold us accountable for it, because that's in His Word. A lot of people have been deceived out there and been taught that baptism is not necessary. So they go through life without being baptized, even though they go and honor God and praise Him all they want. They haven't obeyed God, and they're going to be lost. And that's the great deception of the wickedness that Satan has brought upon mankind. And so it's our basic duty. And it requires the whole heart to be devoted to doing God's will that God has commanded us to do. And we have to do that. See, there are those who observe the commandments without learning God's most important commands. Well, does God have more important commands? One command is just as important as another. You might say that, but yes, there's several things that what we need to realize. We need to realize some things are extremely important, and maybe they carry a lot more importance than some of the other things. But the commands to show compassion and to demonstrate love to others should rank at the top of anyone's priorities. You know, when Jesus was talking about the great judgment scene, when He was talking about these people in Matthew 25, He starts talking about these people. He gathers all the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. To the sheep, He said, "You saw me hungry and gave me food. You saw me thirsty and gave me drink," and all these other things. And they're sitting there, when did we ever see you, Lord, doing that? Because we would have done that for you, no problem. He says, the fact that you did it for the least of mine is what's going to be there. And so the standard of our judgment is how we treat others. You know, we don't read where Jesus sits there, "Well, you sang with the instrument, so you're disqualified." He didn't mention that. He didn't bring up doctrinal matters, which we know they're important. But what He says, how you treat people. Just because someone has a different understanding, how are we going to treat them? We're going to hate them? We're going to dislike them? We're going to despise them because they think differently? Our job should be have the compassion to say, "Hey, wait a minute. I think your understanding here is wrong. I'd like to study the Bible with you and show you what the Bible has to say about this." I mean, just something like that. Our love and our compassion for others should really get to the point that that is really so important for us. Why? Because it fulfills the greatest commands. It fulfills all of God's commands by loving your neighbor as yourself. And so, I mean, the whole law is based upon that statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you want to categorize the commands, yeah, this takes top priority. And by doing so, by doing nice to others, you bring honor to God. And you bring glory to God. Because He said, "Let people see your works so they can glorify your Father in heaven." And so, yeah, I mean, it feeds upon the other. But sometimes we get this idea, well, we have to sit here in the Church of Christ and here, believer, can confess, be baptized. If you don't do that, you're lost, and so you'll have to face your judgment. I mean, that's not the right way to do it. I mean, that's the truth. We need to go through that process, but we need to do so by demonstrating love to others. If people don't perceive that love and that concern, they're not going to give you the time of day. They're not going to waste their time listening to you because you have nothing that they want to hear. But if we really show concern for others, then they will at least listen. They'll have to make their choice about whether they're going to obey God or not. But at least, they will at least listen. And often we see that is not done. So many people will emphasize law keeping and not consider the emphasis that God requires of us. Law keeping is important. There's no question about that. Doing what God commands us to do is important. And we can never downgrade that to say that it's not necessary. No, the Bible is very clear on that. But some people want to basically be such sticklers with law keeping, they forget that God's grace is able to overcome that and overdo that. And then, of course, these people, all they do is preach about grace, grace, grace. Well, it doesn't matter if you keep the law or not. God's grace is going to cover you. And that's just another wrong doctrine in itself. All right. In Hosea 6:6, we read that I require loyalty and not sacrifice. The idea of require, I mean, we could put in the words desire. See, this does not mean that we are exempt from sacrifice, but that showing compassion and trust in God is more important as far as God is concerned. Yeah, loyalty, more than sacrifice. Similar to the statement of Samuel to Saul in 1 Samuel 15:22, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You remember what Saul had done. He had spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. He spared the king Agag, and he was bringing that. And Samuel said, wait a minute, the Lord said, destroy them all. Why have you still got them? And, well, we did it for a noble purpose. We're going to sacrifice to God. And then he makes this statement, and we wonder about that. And what does that statement mean? How does God want to be obeyed? Should we obey God or just do whatever we want for him? See, the point Samuel was telling Saul was that obedience from the heart is better than the mere outward expressions of piety. Like I said, a lot of people walking around. There's people out there not even going to church today that say, oh, but I love Jesus. I love God. And things like that. And they're not interested in doing anything God wants them to do. They just want to say, I love God. And so if they're not obeying from the heart all that God has commanded them, then they're just not getting it. See, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about those who were seeking the praise of men, Matthew 6:1-7. I mean, he says they have their reward. And that doesn't say much, because we're talking about men. Our reward should be granted from God. That's the reward we should be seeking. And they appear to be righteous, but their show was for man and not for the praise of God. They were seeking their own glory rather than seeking glory for God. So we also need to be careful that our actions are done for the glory of God and not our own upbuilding or egotistical appearance to make ourselves feel good. This does not mean that law keeping is not important. Like I said, indeed, it is vital to our soul's salvation. And keeping his commandments is how we demonstrate our love to God. 1 John 5:2-3. I mean, that's how we demonstrate our love to God, by keeping his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, John 14:15. And so, but what God teaches us is that how we treat others is more important for us to consider. Yeah, we still got to do the right things as he commands, but we ought to be considerate about others. Consider others as more important than ourselves. I mean, humility goes into that. And love is one of those qualities that God commands over and over. And so if we have no love, we will show no compassion towards others. I mean, sometimes you got to ask yourself, you see someone and you really don't care about them, you're not demonstrating love as you should. So Jesus taught that love is the foundation of the whole of God's laws. You know, Matthew 22:40. Upon these two, love God, love your neighbor, rests the whole law. See, this is how we demonstrate our love to Jesus and God, by showing love to others. And showing compassion to others is a quality that God requires of us. That's what he wants us to do. And that is what makes our law keeping meaningful. And so that's it. If we just go through law keeping without any of these others, it doesn't carry any meaning. And so worshiping God the right way will be meaningless if our daily lives do not demonstrate love towards others. And we see that. and especially those who are in a lost condition. See, Jesus said if we keep his commandments, we demonstrate our love to him, John 14 and 15. And this is what God wants. And our love to God demonstrated by keeping his commandments, and our compassion by showing love towards others. That's how we do it. When we learn to treat others with care, concern, and compassion, we become more like Jesus. So that's easy to understand. I hope that I've simplified this enough for you to understand. And God has requirements that we may, and we may not ignore God's requirements. He gives us those things. And we must do these in order to get to our heavenly reward. And so God has requirements for us. We must do them to receive the blessings he has promised. So learn what the Lord requires of you and do those things. That's our lesson, very simple lesson to follow and understand. And we're going to sing the invitation song. If this one needs to respond, if you know what to do, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.